From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Up first on this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight, we head to northeastern Wisconsin for a conversation from My Now and the Mayor.
Coming to northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor here. Warming up a little bit, 33 in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 33 in Oshkosh. Is it still windy out there, Stephanie? It was like a cold wind this morning.
It is cold.
Very cold.
It's a north wind, right?
Yeah.
It was
warming up. Wasn't it 32? It's 33.
Not getting up much. Yeah. We've got a very interesting, Sandra's always great, isn't she?
Yes,
isn't she fun? A great guest today. Rob Domofsky from ESPN is coming up later on today. But Stephanie Krubsack, who has just led a fascinating life. The first time I met you, you were like Miss Czech days. Remember that?
Yeah, Miss Czechoslovak, Wisconsin
Miss
in 09.
Miss Czechoslovakia, Wisconsin. You came on IXX with us at the time. And then
we
got to know each other and, you know. One side of my family is all Czech, and and Dom and Julian. But anyway, I just want to talk first. You're involved with a really exciting thing right now with the Packers program, but also I was telling Jim, I said, you're not going to believe this. I followed her on Facebook. She travels to these most exotic countries, Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand and all these places just by herself and blogging about the places and the food and things like that. I found that so interesting. But as a dad of two daughters, I would have had to travel with them. I would have been so nervous worrying about that. What was that like going to all these crazy countries? I shouldn't say crazy countries, but countries you wouldn't. It's not like, hey, I'm going to go to Cambodia next week.
Right.
What was that like going to these places?
Like Paris.
Yeah, it was amazing. I started with a one-way ticket to Portugal, and I was gone for 8 months. I did 25 countries.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just meeting people from all over, the food, the culture. It was a really wonderful experience.
How do you, so 25 countries, like,
that's amazing.
I mean, I couldn't name 25, but you get there and how do you meet people? Just your personality, or do you go to the chamber office, or you go to schools?
Yeah, the Cambodian Chamber of Commerce.
I took a lot of cooking classes, and actually I did couch surfing, which is a website and app where you stay with locals. So that was very, very interesting.
Wow.
So you stay in the home with them, you learn, where the best museums, the best restaurants, they talk about their family history. It's very, very cool.
What are some of the cool things that you remember and some of the things that I wouldn't want to do that again?
I think some of the really interesting ways were the means of travel. So I know I was going from Bosnia to Montenegro, and we had to stop for a herd of sheep. That happened one time. Another time, I was in Morocco going to the Atlas Mountains on a hike, and we were in this car, which was a cab, and there was like eight of us in this car, and then this random bus that had people standing in like four to a seat. It was just very insane. But we got there safely.
Were you ever scared over there doing these things?
Sometimes, but I always pretended like I knew where I was going.
Okay. What was the scariest country of the bunch where you wouldn't want to rock? Because I've heard people that travel to like you mentioned Bosnia and those kind of places. So don't go out at night by yourself for a beer in the local pubs. So did you find any of those kind of places?
Some places in Malaysia were interesting, in Kuala Lumpur, but mostly pretty safe, I would say.
Okay.
Did you always have a place? How does that? I just think that's unbelievable.
Eight months
of, not a vagabond, but I mean, it wasn't like it was all planned out. I'm here this night, I'm here that night.
Exactly. It was a bit winging it sometimes.
Right.
So yeah, hostels sometimes where you just stop in and grab a room. Yeah. But never outside.
Wow. Okay. What's some of the craziest food you ate?
I had a lot of bugs in Cambodia. I tried them all at least once, but I will not do it again.
Bugs?
Yeah, like tarantulas and winged
ants.
You
did not eat a tarantula?
A tarantula leg, I did.
Oh, my God.
My favorite.
What else?
Just, I think, a lot of the cultural food, too, for the different holidays. Like, Malaysia had a lot of great food. Very, very interesting mixture and combination. So.
Wow.
And were people good to Americans? Or were you, I mean, you're Czech, but, I mean, were people, you hear this time, people like us, people don't like us.
Yeah, I would say majority were very kind. So, yeah.
Can people still see your things from your travels?
Yeah, I still have my website with a lot of travel blogs, food articles.
Give that, because people need to see what you did.
Okay.
What's the address?
Skparfait.com.
Skparfait.
On my Instagram.
Nice. Well, tell us now about your other great thing that you're involved with your company.
Yeah, so the Packers Protege Mentorship Program is really great, where they pair you with an executive, a professional. They don't have to be local, but they help you really grow your business and, you know, define what your services are, your products, things like that. So it's a really great program, and I'm excited to be part of it.
And what is your product? What is your company?
So Purevant Living, I do sustainability marketing communications, workshops for companies. So it can be really overwhelming when you don't know how to get started in the sustainability space. So what do you do? How do you track things? Do you need certifications? Do you need reports? So how do you do all of that? And how do you share that with your stakeholders? And then I have the media side with the magazine and podcast called Person and Planet, where I share these great sustainability wellness stories on there.
I mean, do you put out your own magazine?
I do.
How cool is that?
I love that name, Planet. Like, the name of your magazine is what?
Person and Planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're the student, right? Barb Lemieux is your...
For the Protege program.
For the Protege program. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you're going to learn a lot from her. How often do you meet? Is there a cost to this? The Packers have been doing this for some time, but and I went to many, many graduations, which is just awesome, but...
Yeah.
Tell me about how that program works.
Yeah, it's free for entrepreneurs, which is amazing. And you meet once a month with your mentor. And then there's workshops and training events throughout the year, too, which is really great. So it could be accounting, it could be, you know, your brand, marketing. Mm-hmm.
How do you have the energy to do all this stuff?
I know, right?
I mean, your own magazine, your own podcast, your own this, your own company. And you're going to 25 company or 25 countries. How do you get the energy to do all these things?
I don't know. I just live off of air and good energy. I don't know.
we're trying to fight it to stay here for another 45 minutes. No, just
coffee helps.
This is really interesting. And I mentioned that Anthony
Bourdain,
mm-hmm. who was here in Green Bay. Do you know that? He was at the Widener Center.
Really? Yeah. I saw him when I lived in Denver, actually, in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he did that. And just an unbelievable following. People are really interested. We talk about food being, you can learn about a country through their food. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot. And I think that's really cool. I want to look that up tonight, or this afternoon when I get home.
Look up her things.
I will. That's
pretty
cool.
They were so, I mean, just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe where she is now.
Are you going to restart that? Although you're kind of off the air for, I mean, you've got to do this Protege thing for a year. But do you plan to reignite that?
Or have you had the traveling bug? Is it gone?
It never goes away. So I haven't been to Europe in a year, but I'm hoping to hit Malta this year and back to Czech Republic. But it'll never go away.
Isn't Czech Republic a beautiful place?
It is.
It really is.
Yes.
I mean, Prague is the nicest big city I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Do you give advice on the finances? I mean, it's got to be expensive to travel, but.
Yeah. I planned for a year, actually. So when I was burnt out from IT, I call it my third life crisis. I was 30. I'd never studied abroad. I'm like, okay, now's my chance to do it. I planned for a year. I downsized my expenses, my apartment. I didn't do any big trips. I saved up so I had that cushion as like the in case. And basically kind of pricing out, you know, what the cost would be roughly and traveling very cheaply. And I made it happen. So
that's incredible.
That's incredible.
It is.
25
really is.
Countries at once.
Yeah. I love doing that.
Yes.
Wow.
But you know what? One thing, when you talk to other people, what are some of the bits of advice you would give them if they want to go traveling? Because it still is a big, scary world out there if you don't know where you're going or whatever. And, you know, I got lost. I always tell Jim that funny story in a certain way of when I was in Afghanistan and I was lost. You know,
we went to the wrong airport.
Well, I was flew into the wrong airport.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's happened to me before, too.
Has it? Yes. That can happen to anybody, can't
there's,
it?
There's two in Frankfurt, and I flew my parents to the wrong one, and I was at the other one.
Kidding. Oh, yes. My gosh. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Dom loves traveling with me because, like, when we came back from Europe and we were in Toronto, and I said, Dom, we got to go on this line here. He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, yep. So we ended up going through customs twice. You know, it's a lot of fun customs twice.
Great. Yeah,
that's pretty happy.
Managing your time.
Yes. But it's just amazing the young people you see traveling now when you travel abroad, isn't it, though? But I don't think for Europeans it's that big of a deal the way it is for Americans, right?
Yeah, exactly. They grew up doing it. A lot of them have a gap year, too. So
right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So you would encourage this.
Definitely.
I'm John. I got three daughters. You got two. Mm-hmm. yeah, I would be a little apprehensive. But I think it's cool what you did. I applaud you for doing that. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
But you didn't. You don't seem like there was. John asked you, what were your bad moments? You're like, eh, yeah, not really, nothing. Yeah.
I like what you said, though, about act like you.
You know where you're going.
You know where you're going.
Always.
Yeah.
So never be like your nose in your phone or in a map. If you don't know where you're going, step inside of a cafe or shop and figure out how to get there.
Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Great point. Were you in Italy at all?
I was quite a bit.
Did you ever go to Northern Italy?
More southern, western. Yeah.
I heard there's a lot of pickpockets in Italy.
I was okay, but yeah, I think everywhere, even here.
Right.
I think we should travel with her.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. Where do you want to go?
Anywhere near. I want to go to Northern Italy. That's always my dream, is Northern Italy.
Right. What's on your list? Where do you want to go?
Malta, for sure. And then Tanzania is very high on my list to go.
Tanzania.
Yeah.
Where's Tanzania? In Africa.
Yeah. To go see the wildebeest migration in August.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm. I have been there.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Okay.
You have not.
Tanzania.
You've been to Tanzania. Oh, that's right. Your daughter went to school there.
Oh, wow.
His daughter went to school in Tanzania. Yeah. That's right.
Well, let's go there. Do you want to take us? You can be our guide.
When I got back here, I kissed the ground. I did not like it. They live different than we do. And I just, you know, it was tough. It was tough. I just want to say it was not my style of living. But she was there, so I was there to support her. But, wow. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, it was. It was amazing. And
what do you want to watch? The wallabies? Is that what you said? No,
the wildebeest migration. Yeah. Okay. And then you take a safari, and then Olduvai Gorge is there where they found the first hominid upright footprints, and then where Mary Louise Leakey worked, and then Jane Goodall did work in Tanzania as well, too. So I love her. I saw her when she was in Appleton years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'd like to see those two places.
I mean, I get nervous going to the grocery store.
I was going to say, why are these people so much cooler? Why are we doing this show? Why are cool people doing this show?
We got to get different guests.
We got to do something.
They'll make us look bad.
We got to get some, you know. Let me bring in some of my buddies.
Yeah.
I'll bring them down from Nagani. Right.
They'll
feel so
superior. Feel like, oh, man, we are successful.
You can't believe it, Jim. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. And this is great. I'm just fascinated by what you've done in your life.
If I could just touch a Packer Protege. So that is full for this year. But if someone is interested in doing that next year, they just apply through.
Yeah, you can sign up now. Yeah, it's like rolling.
It's rolling. Yeah. So you can sign up, say, look, I'm interested in that Protege. And that's a business that's looking for some mentorship. Or there's mentors that want to help a small business.
Exactly.
And the name of your company again?
Purevant Living.
Love it. Purevant.
Living. Yep.
Living. Correct. Beautiful. Stephanie Krupczak, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having
me. Awesome. When we come back, Rob Domofsky will be joining us from ESPN. Mino the Mayor, back after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head north to a conversation on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, where Pat discusses what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot when it comes to political parties here in America.
Happy birthday wishes to George Benson, who turns 81 years old today, and gave us one of those landmark little light rock, little bit of crossover soft jazz hits with Breezin' back in the day. As Greg sways to the music, you can't help it, you know? Again, on a snowy day like this, you just want to hear George's guitar as it comes up here.
Just come on.
I know, smooth.
I'm going to download his greatest hits right now.
You should. A couple more tunes from George Benson along the way. On this Friday morning on Up North News Radio, let's give the phone number out, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Would love to know, have you called in just to say where you're at, how much snow you got, what the roads are looking like. And if you're shy that way, text it. That same number is how you text us, 855-75-CIVIC. In the news today, I don't know if you heard about this. I mean, this has got people really upset. Imagine Hunter Biden being given control of the Democratic National Committee, and all donations to Democrats will go to lawyers instead of helping Democratic candidates, will go to lawyers working for Hunter Biden in the midst of this criminal investigation against him. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm being told I'm being told that's not Hunter Biden and the Democratic Party. It's the Trump family and the Republican Party. Ah, yes. Yes, here it is now. There was just a typo on the script where it said Hunter Biden. It was supposed to say the Trump family, because there's been a new arrangement made with the Republican National Committee that a portion of donations that go to the newly formed Trump 47 fundraising committee to save America will be used to cover Donald Trump's legal bills. It's this is not normal, folks. It's not normal. If you're giving to a candidate, that's fine. You know that they may do all kinds of things with it. When you give to a party, you're expecting that your donation is going to be used to get Democrats or Republicans elected up and down the line. You would not want the Biden family taking over the Democratic National Committee any more so than you would want the Trump family taking over, because again, it's always one big grift. It's one big money grab. And I'm sad at the number of, you know, sweet little old ladies and other well-meaning people who felt like they were helping to save America and make America great by sending in their check for $25 or, you know, $250. And that's a lot for them. But they think that, you know, Donald Trump, that nice young man, this is the way to go. It's not the way to go. It's going to pay his lawyers for his many legal cases against him. One of them that was especially in the news yesterday and continues to be is Donald Trump's effort to find money, not just for the legal bills, but now to pay for his bond if he wants to appeal the judgment against him in that civil fraud case, you know, where he was running his business fraudulently. He was inflating the value of properties for selling purposes, but deflating the value of properties for tax purposes, doing it to such an extent you couldn't look the other way. You couldn't not file criminal charges because it was so egregious. And now he's been, you know, found guilty in that civil fraud case. If he wants to appeal, he's got to put up the money first. That's $464 million was the judgment against him. And this so-called billionaire is having a tough time scraping together $500 million. Apparently, $500 million doesn't go as far as it used to. And more than 30 different entities, whether it's banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, whatever, have already told Trump no, as Trump's lawyers told the judge this week. And as a result, the judge in this case is now warning that he wants to see any details on the Trump organization's attempts to secure a bond in this civil fraud case. Why is that? Because it's one thing to write a check or to put up liquid cash. It's another thing to put up your properties as bond. But how much are those properties really worth? Remember, the whole thing that got him in trouble for this was inflating the value of his property. So they may very well be leveraged. They may very well have loans out against them right now, which makes them a little bit less valuable as Trump tries to post his bond. And of course, there's the foreign angle to it of, you know, who does he turn to get this money? Does he turn to the Saudis? Does he turn to Russian oligarchs? Does he turn to some other foreign entities? And should a major party candidate for president be financially in debt to either hostile nations or other foreign entities? Same questions we asked 4 years ago. I get that. But the questions are still valid here, because you want to know whose side is Donald Trump on. And clearly, given all that he has said to try to undo the NATO alliance, all that he's done to undo free and fair elections in the United States, it's pretty clear to see where he lies in terms of defending America versus defending the Trump organization. And he's going to go with the Trump organization every single time. So remember that when you're writing that check out, just think, would I write a check out to Hunter Biden? Would I write a check out to Jared Kushner, who got reportedly $2 billion from the Saudis to start his own hedge fund after the presidency, because of course that doesn't buy any access. That doesn't smack like a quid pro quo at all, does it? Of course it does. And that's why the judge wants to be extremely careful on this, because if he can't post the bond, then yeah, Trump Tower won't belong to Trump along with several other properties. That's called consequences. That's the consequences of not playing by the rules that everybody else has to play when you're paying your taxes, when you're buying and selling your properties. No one person's above the law. No matter how much he tries to put himself above the law, he can't do that. It's as simple as that. Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz said Thursday she will not recuse herself from a case dealing with the legality of mobile voting sites. A conservative law firm, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, filed a lawsuit back in December of 2022 saying that city officials illegally used a voting van to collect absentee ballots around the city that year. The court has yet to decide whether to take the case. If Protasiewicz were to recuse herself for some reason, then it could be that that case deadlocks at 3-3. But Protasiewicz said Thursday, she said she can act impartially in the case. And I have no desire to act impartially on this case. When we're talking about voting, again, there's only one political class, political party in this country dedicated to suppressing votes, to not making it easy for American citizens to vote. And you see that in cases like this. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil joins us on the other side. This is Up North News Radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We continue our tour of morning shows across the Civic Media Radio Network by heading to Madison for a conversation from the John and Gordy Show, when John and Gordy were joined by Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, this week to get an update on the current state of redistricting and new maps in Wisconsin.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's House of Excuses. The next time you need a good excuse for being late to work or forgetting your spouse's birthday, just call the House of Excuses. We guarantee that we'll come up with a good excuse for you on the spot. Our guarantee is simple. If we don't come up with a good excuse for you, we promise to give you a good excuse for not coming up with one.
There we go. And that's we need an excuse. This is Mad Radio, WMDX, and the John and Gordy Show. And now I want to ask you, Sam, do we take this call first before we get to our special guest this morning?
I don't know who it is, but sure.
All right, let's take this call. We don't know who it is, but you have a comment about what we have been talking about so far.
Oh, yeah. This is just more of a, you know, word salad they come up with when they're when they got nothing.
Yeah.
Another example yesterday was this nonsense about impeachment. I mean, how much longer do we have to go through that?
Right.
You know, I heard too that Parnas accused Giuliani of buying really cheap vodka too on top of everything else. But,
well, that's inexcusable, by the way.
Really?
Right.
That's too far.
Right, but I mean, this nonsense yesterday with the impeachment,
yeah,
it just, I couldn't believe some of the stuff they were coming up with again. Same old, and there's nothing there. Just yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I think the Democrats definitely made a point that there was nothing there. I've got a few tracks, by the way, if we have time, mm-hmm. I'll play them. But yeah, it was such a disaster for them that they actually made a case against Trump at this point. So, it went backwards for them.
They've got nothing, and they don't have any votes either.
All right.
Not enough, anyway.
Hey, thanks for giving us a call. We've got our special guest here, Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
That's right. Hey, welcome, Nick.
Studio.
We appreciate you coming in.
Man, let me tell you, fellas, first time caller, long time listener, big fan, and you know, This has got to be the earliest I've been up in Madison, and I've been a Madisonian since September 1st, 2023. So wow. The fact that you guys were able to twist my arms and get me up this early, it is a testament to the fact that I'm a big fan. So.
Well, we're going to make this an enjoyable experience for you by talking about redistricting. This has really hit the fan. And, I know that you're big on the redistricting problem that we have in this state.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Governor Evers avoiding the Supreme Court decision on, you know, what maps they were going to use instead of bypassing it and just having his maps approved? Does that not delay the process? Does that not delay what we want? The point we're trying to make, right, is to redo how those maps are drawn every 10 years. Not just this time, but in the future, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's a good question. And honestly, I think in this entire process, we got to see the legislature, because the legislature is the one body that is, you know, has the authority to create the bills, to draw the maps, to get us what we're going to be voting for our legislature. But the problem is, because they're the same body that gerrymandered the hell out of this state, they have decided that they've wanted to railroad all types of crazy nonsense bills. And so it's why we've gotten to this point where we had to have litigation. We had to have the Supreme Court case. And I know that there was a lot of camps that wanted the Supreme Court to make the decision on, you know, picking a map. But legal calculus wise, like, you know, and I'm an attorney, and I was working with a lot of attorneys going through this entire process, and I work with the Fair Maps Coalition as a part of the Democracy Campaign. And a court-imposed map provides a lot of different legal risks versus a map that is voted on in the legislature, signed by the governor. And so I just think at the end of the day, it made a lot more sense to be able to bring fairer maps through legislation than allowing it to just be the opportunity that there could be a SCOTUS challenge down the line with the Supreme Court, you know, leaving the case open. And then there's potential that there could be a challenge by, you know, Will or by, you know, the Speaker. And then we could then have, you know, our entire election be thrown into chaos, into limbo. And so I wanted to make sure, and the Fair Maps Coalition wanted to make sure, that we were going to do everything in our power to bring fair maps to Wisconsin. And Governor and the Fair Maps Coalition and Law Forward, we brought it home.
All right. Now, you're talking about possibly somewhere along the way here, devising a way to come up with fair maps without going through the legislature. The legislature basically giving up their job to put those maps together and giving it to an independent source?
Man, you know,
is that what we're looking at or trying to get to?
I'm going to tell you something, man. If I got, you know, if this was Aladdin and I got a magic lamp and I got three wishes, I would sit here and I would use one of those wishes on that goal because because, I mean, the legislature has proven in this entire process and for the last over the last 13 years that they don't give a damn about us in this. I mean, like, when I got this job 6 months ago, guys, all right, and right off the rip, what did we see happen in the last, 4 months? We saw the Iowa redistricting bill that they threw out there, and they were like, okay, Do we get a chance in the assembly to even have a public hearing on this thing? No. Right. They just voted on it. And then, so my group, you know, the Democracy Campaign within the Fair Maps Coalition, we held a public telling because we're pissed off. We're like, why can't the people be invited to be able to give you guys some testimony like any other bill? And then what ended up happening right after that? A day later, the Senate then put out a notice and said, hey, we're going to do a public notice and we're going to give you guys an opportunity to do give testimony. It was the first hearing on a redistricting bill in 13 years.
Wow, it's hard to even imagine that the Senate did that.
Holy cow, because we're over here putting their feet to the fire because people are fed up. And so, like, we got that opportunity. And then, you know, they tried to railroad that through to try and get in front of the Supreme Court before they could make a decision. And so it's just at this point, honestly, like, the North Star for us is let's take it out of the legislature's hands. Let's, again, everybody, it makes more sense to have a nonpartisan entity be able to go in, draw the maps, and then let's allow for Wisconsin voices mm-hmm. to be actually heard. Because at the end of the day, we've seen it. It's beyond me to think that, like, everybody knows that Wisconsin's had the most gerrymandered maps in the entire country. Mm-hmm. And it's
really? Did everybody know that?
They
pretended like they weren't the most gerrymandered maps. They're still, you know, they're still thinking that they weren't.
No, and it's crazy because, I mean, there's like emails that were pulled at open record request that literally show them being like, oh, well, let's look at Brown Deer. Yes. Let's look at some mm-hmm. of these cities, how we want to carve them up. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it would be very nice to be able to find get a piece of legislation across the finish line that creates a nonpartisan redistricting process, and then in the next couple cycles, get a constitutional amendment, enshrine it, and then let's be done with it. Let's quit the rabbit hole of this partisan gerrymander once and for all, and then let's start thinking about actually giving a damn about the Wisconsin people so that future generations don't have to deal with this problem.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's the executive director. If you'd like to chime in, our number is 608-879-8255. Nick, I want to ask you about implementation of these maps. Where does it go from here? How does that happen?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the big thing was, and the court in Clark v. Wisconsin Election Commission set a deadline, for like March 15th-ish, because candidates want to start collecting signatures for the fall. So they can be on the ballots. And so I think soon we're going to be finding out, you know, some questions as far as I know that the governor asked the Supreme Court specifically about what are we going to do with special elections? What are we going to do with recalls? Because there was some ambiguity as far as whether or not the implementation of the governor's maps mm-hmm. would be applicable into those situations. And so right now we're kind of in a limbo state, and we're going to get more clarity on that those two particular situations, because we know that Senator Lena Taylor is going to be a judge, it looks mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And then we know that there's a potential recall effort for Speaker Robin Voss at this moment.
But that's in front of the Supreme Court right now, though.
Correct.
Redistricting
Correct.
Lines and what will be in effect and what won't be. And Robin Voss is trying to get that determined so, you know, that he's kind of safe. That was the negotiation.
Yeah.
Will that negotiation hold up in front of the Supreme Court at this point?
Well, I mean,
and that's what we're looking at.
That's that, again. Right. We're all kind of wondering and speculating at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, we'll see. I think the Supreme Court has proven that it is very capable and very able to move very quickly mm-hmm. and make decisions very quickly. And so, I've got a lot of faith in them. And again, I mean, it was a landmark decision to be able to show us that, it seems very, everybody knows that our maps are very gerrymandered. So, you know, it's a slam dunk, but I'm glad that they were able to come out in very clear and concise terms and be able to do it in a way that I thought was going to preserve any federal challenges. So, like, again, in this situation, I think we're going to be good. And going forward, in the fall, when the maps do get implemented, we have a large scale effort that we are coordinating right now mm-hmm. in the lead up to November to ensure that voters across the entire state are aware of the implications of these maps, not only the changes of districts but the opportunities that these maps present for folks, that the fact that you're going to get an opportunity at looking at a more balanced legislature in a way that you haven't in years in
this
state.
Well, let's hope anyway.
Yeah, I mean, in theory. Yeah. I mean, look, it creates more competitive districts, and it gives opportunities for public policy that has been sitting on the shelf and been living to die
yes.
for mm-hmm. years.
I know.
And we're going to be educating folks all across the state about this one shot. And I'm going to tell you, if you got a shot at the king, you best not miss. So guess what? You need to go vote not only in April, but you need to go vote in November. You guys know it's a presidential election out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so just because, you know, we're voting for president, that's important. But you need to go out there and vote like your life matters, because guess what? We're getting new voting maps, and they're going to be more fair than we've been privy to for the last 13, 14 years now.
You would think that even conservative voters would be, you know, just tired of being encased, as I say on the show often, encased in amber for the last 13, 14 years, ever since Scott Walker came in. We have not progressed. We have actually gone backwards, and we've preserved all of these bills that could happen where and they're just laying dormant someplace, and we really have to kind of change things around, and it's going to at least maybe take a couple of elections, but we've got to start in this election in November. We've got to make some change there and maybe even tilt the scale, at least maybe in the Assembly or the Senate, one of those, but we've got to really kind of work on this.
I mean, as the executive director of the Democracy Campaign, my biggest thing is that, you know, no matter what, we want to make sure voter turnout is high, and we want to make sure that folks, no matter what your party affiliation is, that you are out there and you are voting and that you are participating, because this is a historic moment in Wisconsin and you cannot let it just flee. Like, we need to make sure that at this moment, the legislature is going to, like, if you look at the maps, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, it will most likely shift in a way that is going to be very radical for what it has been. I mean, we've been looking at a supermajority and a majority in both chambers. And now we're looking at, now it's going to be way, way more closer to 50-50 than it, and it hasn't been that way in years.
Well, one of the interesting things, you know, over time now is that the Republicans haven't had to listen to anybody. They've had the meetings, they've had the public sessions, but they've always, and in these sessions, the opposition is always like 99% of the people who show up.
Oh, you don't gotta tell me.
They ignore them. And so maybe that can change finally, and the people will get what they want.
Well, I mean, and don't you think too, at the end of the day, that any conversation shouldn't just be one-sided? Don't you think that?
Exactly, right? You'd think that would work.
Well,
all right, we're gonna take a break here.
Yeah, we're talking with Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, can you hang around a few more minutes?
For you boys, man, I'll be here all morning.
All right. See?
More coming up.
A little caffeine.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. Be sure to follow Civic Media on all of your favorite social media channels to stay in the know with programming and updates from around the network. We now head to southeastern Wisconsin for a conversation from the Don Rosen Show, where Don was joined this week by Executive Director of the Racine Neighborhood Watch to talk about their event taking place this week, Take a Taste Out of Crime.
Down in old Mexico, if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo.
WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us today.
Pretty Polynesian baby over the sea.
Every time I just remember him singing this on the Ozzie and Harriet show. Boy, that was a gold mine for that show. Everybody tuned it in just to hear Ricky sing. Susan Fearlock is here. She's the executive director of Racine Neighborhood Watch. Now, Neighborhood Watch, I got to tell you something. I have a next door neighbor. Who Gladys Kravitz is?
Oh, we talk about her all the time.
Yeah, she's Gladys Kravitz. She's the one who looks out the window the minute the siren is heard. Then when she goes outside, I see her with her arms folded, following the police car down the block. And I always say to her, so what's going on? Well, here's what I found out. So she is the Gladys Kravitz of our neighborhood. And you need people like that.
Absolutely.
Who poke their nose out the door and see what's going on. And I poke my nose out, but if I don't see it right in front of my face, I go back into my little hole and I hibernate till the next siren comes by.
Well, actually, we encourage more of a coordinated event, and that's called the Neighborhood Block Watch Program. And what we do is we work with neighbors to establish a neighborhood block watch program. Typical neighborhood block watch area is corner to corner, odd and even side of the street. So what we do is we bring neighbors together. We provide information about crime prevention and safety. We also invite a law enforcement officer to come to an organizational meeting for the Block Watch and give neighbors the tools that they need to feel comfortable calling law enforcement should they have a problem. We're seeing Neighborhood Watch is different than most neighborhood watches. We are our own 501c3 nonprofit organization. Back in the 80s, when Racine Neighborhood Watch was started by a volunteer group of community leaders, government agencies, and other law enforcement, that was really decided that in order for crime prevention to be effective, you needed to involve the community and police. Sometimes you ask people, you know, who's responsible for fighting crime? And they'll say the police. But that's not true. It has to be a partnership between neighbors and law enforcement. You know, a lot of times people say, I don't know if I should call police.
I don't want to get involved.
Am I bothering them? What happens if I call and, you know, there's kids walking down my street? I call, they're already gone. What, you know? But we encourage neighbors to do that because it's all a process. When you call the non-emergency number and you get that documented, that builds a history for law enforcement so that when they come to your neighborhood again, they can pull it up and say, okay, we've seen that this neighbor has called for this noisy house. The neighbor next to them called about the same noisy house. We have neighbor number three calling about the same noisy house. It ticks it up the priority list for officers to come and address that situation. There's so many ways that you can connect with law enforcement now. You can call the non-emergency number. When you call the non-emergency number or 911 if it's an emergency. Now, a true emergency, I used to say this to my kids when I was working and they were little. A true emergency is if there is blood, broken bones, fire, or death. That's the only time you call me at work. That's kind of the idea behind a 911 call. It's a true, you know, emergency where there are life and death consequences. But calling the non-emergency number is a way to report what's going on. When you talk to the non-emergency number, which is 262-886-2300, you can say, hey, here's my phone number. Call me if you have any questions. You know, hey, I want to see a law enforcement officer. Further, a new program that we've taken on is, well, it's not a new program, but it's new to us, is Racine County Crime Stoppers. That's another way for you to connect with law enforcement and report what you see. It's not as expedient when there's an emergency, but if you're, for example, your security camera catches perhaps what you suspect is maybe a drug deal going on in front of your house, you can upload that to Crime Stoppers and know that that information is being relayed and reviewed.
That's the newest thing for fighting crime, these Ring doorbells, the cameras. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them work on motion only, but some of the cameras, like the guy who lives across the street from me, that camera runs 24/7.
There is a program through the City of Racine Police that if you have a security camera, you can register the fact that you have that camera with police. So, for example, maybe there's a car that's involved in a crime and it goes speeding past your house. If that's on file with police, they can call you and say, hey, can you look between the hours of 10 and 2 and see if your camera caught this? Oh, it did. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, can we come take a look at it? Or can we give you a link and you can upload it to our, you know, informational bank? Never have to see police, but again, it's a way for you as a neighbor to be connected and provide that important information.
And it's so easy to send these Ring videos out. All you do is have to look at it and just share, and you send it to anybody you want. You know, go ahead, Juan.
The thing is, sharing it over social media and connecting with police are two different things.
No, I mean sharing it with police. You can put
right,
it where
right,
you
want right.
to send it to. You know, I watch enough Dateline on TV to know that the first thing you do is check the area. Where are the security cameras? It's so hard to get away with crime these days. First of all, you got DNA, which doesn't lie. I mean, if your DNA's there, you've got some questions to answer. The other thing is cameras. They can tell where you were, what time you left, and you can't lie because the camera caught you, your DNA's there. It's very easy to catch criminals today, but you still need people to report.
Absolutely, because like Crime Stopper says, when you say see something, say something. It's when you don't say something and you sit on that information, Or you think, well, my neighbor next door is going to call police, or my neighbor across the street is going to call police. That's what we talk about in a neighborhood block watch program. Everybody has to take responsibility for the safety of their neighborhood.
And you can call anonymously. You know, you don't have to give your name. If people are worried about that, you know, especially elderly people, I don't want to come into my house. Mm-hmm. Well, don't give your name then.
Oh, and you don't have to have police come to your house. It's really helpful sometimes to at least give your phone number in case they need to follow up. But if you choose to be anonymous, you can.
Okay, Susan Fearlock is here. We're talking about take a taste out of crime. I got it right.
Yay.
At Roma Lodge this Friday. More on that coming up in a moment. Partly sunny today. Beautiful day for the first day of spring. Highs near 50. Clear tonight. Lows around 26. For tomorrow, sunny. Highs only near, is that right? 35? Oof. And snow likely Thursday night and Friday. Maybe an end. Spring kicks in tonight at 10:06 Central Time, Central Daylight Savings Time. Cloudy now, 31 degrees at 719 at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.